All right, let's do this quick before she wakes up.
All right, let's do it.
We had some problems last time, didn't we?
Yeah, what? Didn't we get through halfway and then it was just barking the whole time?
Yeah, when I was editing, I was like, oh my God, no one's gonna listen to this.
Could you hear it?
Yeah, you could hear it,
It was
but
quite
it was
loud.
okay. It wasn't that bad.
Look, I think it was a realist. It's the reality
It's the
of.
reality. This is the reality show, the PNT reality show. Welcome back to the PNT reality show. The second episode of the Lena Stroke podcast. I think it's actually episode 89.
89, but it's the
But it's the
second
second one
episode
back,
in
yeah.
FNQ,
In FNQ.
in our relocated life spot.
That's right. The puppy's down. We got about 30 minutes max
T
before the puppy's
minus.
up again.
Yes.
So we're gonna hustle with this one.
Let's do it.
In today's episode, you're gonna get to know us a little bit better. We're gonna talk about where we came from. And I think that the value of this episode for the listener and the watcher is going to be potentially finding some golden nuggets in how we overcame some of the challenges that we had before we made health and fitness a really, really high priority in our life.
Totally. And I find it quite, in my opinion, I find it quite easy to relate to a lot of my clients because a lot of the struggles that they are currently experiencing or have experienced over the course of their journey, I've been there myself. So I know exactly like firsthand what they're experiencing. So hopefully this episode will kind of shine a little bit of a light on, yes, we're still human and we've been in a place where you have been or you currently are, but we'd love to give you some insight into ways that you might be able to push past that to get you to the next level.
Great. So I think that's a place, great place to start. Is where do you come from, Miss Teresa West?
Miss Teresa West
Yeah.
and actually, a little bit of a side note, Miss West has actually had a bit of a return.
Yes. Tell me more.
Yeah, I've got my teacher's registration back now that we've moved up north. I just had this kind of desire to want to get back in front of kids and get back in front of the classroom, but then also like part of my long-term strategy might be able is that I might be able to work with kids in the community. Especially girls and like adolescents in the community to give them a better option of how to spend their extracurricular activities.
So what do you mean by teaching them music or teaching them fitness? Or maybe a bit of both?
A little bit of both, perhaps, but yeah, more so in line with fitness. So potentially, I don't know, working with council or the government or maybe some charity or foundations out there that support young females in the community.
Yeah.
And just giving them a better opportunity to learn about training, nutrition, and lifestyle factors that are going to put them in the best position to be able to thrive.
Love it. That's a fantastic initiative. So
Yeah.
tell us a little bit more about the original Miss West. When,
Okay.
back when it was Miss West, not the personal trainer yet.
Yes, when we first met,
Yeah.
perhaps.
So what kind of challenges were you dealing with when it comes to your health and fitness back then?
Well, where do we start?
Start with the juicy stuff, of course.
Okay, so challenges back then. I mean, I wouldn't say there were challenges back then because I think that maybe it was a necessary part of my life that I needed to experience. But look, I drank a lot. I went out a lot. Like it was not unusual for me to go and drink out Friday night. Back it up on Saturday night, and who knows, like maybe a Sunday
Sunday
sesh.
sesh. Woo-hoo! Yeah, bitches! Oh, wait,
Yeah,
that's probably not what you said.
maybe. I'm sure there's probably been anyway. So yeah, there was quite a lot of drinking involved, especially like uni days. I think that one's pretty normal.
Yeah.
And then when I first started teaching, which was here in Cairns, we had a great team of girls, and a lot of us were either single or just like in the similar stage of our lives where Like, we really wanted to go out on a Friday afternoon drinks after school. Saturday, yeah. We might go out to town, as yeah, we called yeah, yeah. it. And then definitely, like, Sunday sesh was a big thing, because then some of the older mums in their 40s and even 50s would come and join us. So,
whoa, the cougars came out.
Yeah. Yeah, so drinking was a huge culture.
Okay, so how was that impacting your health? Why did you bring that up as a bit of a challenge?
Well, look, at the time, there's two sides of the coins. I think the first thing was that there was some positives, because it meant that I was being quite social.
Mm.
And as somebody who was extremely extroverted back then, it kind of gave me...
Introverted.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Introverted. As somebody extremely introverted... And not even to really be able to really hold a conversation.
Yeah. Wow. Really?
Yeah. I struggled a lot.
Wow. That's hard to believe based on how much you speak these days.
That's not true. Anyway. So I think at the time it actually helped me weirdly gain some social skills.
Mm.
Actually, I don't that's know pretty if it common. Helped me. Yeah. Yeah. It helped me be more social. But then on the other side of the coin was that it was really affecting my health, because as we know, like binge drinking, which maybe there were definitely nights where I was binge drinking for sure. And then that consistent, like, backing it up, which is not going to do great things for your health.
Mm.
So that was definitely a big challenge for me back then.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Well, what about then when you were teaching? And maybe when you were already living in Melbourne, and maybe you were getting past that early 20s phase of your life. Because I know that you were, when I first met you, you were going to the gym back then.
Mm.
So can you talk to me a little bit more about that time?
Yeah, well, okay. So when I first moved to Melbourne, I moved into a share house with three other girls, and there was a huge drinking culture. Like, we kind of, like... In Cairns, it was like drinking culture, and then I moved into that share house, and then it was just like a whole nother level.
Next level.
And then, like, the girls that I taught with at the school that I started, like, there was, again, like, it was another big drinking culture. Like, ugh. Anyway.
What about the gym side of things?
But, like, gym and my perception of... like, health were actually still a big part of my life. Like, even when I first got my license when I was 17, like, I was wanting to do the Red Arrow, which is a hiking track up here in Cairns, or do the Esplanade. Like, every day, like, I would alternate one of those things, or some days I'd even do both. So, like, incorporating fitness was not really a chore for me. It was huge. It was already a good thing. And then, you know, building my confidence at the gym was also another thing. But the thing that went wrong for me there was that my perception of what I thought I needed to do in order to be healthy was completely skewed.
Really? So what did you think that you were supposed to do?
Well, what the magazines and what the articles on social media told us, of course.
Right.
Which was to be skinny and to try to eat as the least amount as possible and to always be focusing on weight loss. Because, like, that's healthy, right?
Yeah, bagels and Botox and a bit of detox, right?
Oh, God, yes, the detox. Gonna go on a water detox.
All right, let's keep that can of worms. Let's keep it shut. We'll open that one some other time. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, like, my perception of what I thought health was completely skewed. And it was getting to a point where I didn't realize that what I was actually doing was far worse to my body than actually doing any good. So let's say, for example, I was going to the gym probably 4 to 5 times a week, but the type of training that I was doing was just not, it wasn't, well, first of all, it wasn't training. And then second of all.
What was it?
It was exercise.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to break. What does that mean? It was more so just as much cardio as I could possibly do. And the cardio sessions were usually of an interval training style. Because I would kind of, like, read about things or see things on YouTube and be like, oh, okay, they're doing this, they're doing this Tabata thing. So you know, it would be 15 seconds of really, really intense, like cycling or interval training on an incline treadmill, just running as fast as I can. So just going through those, like a lot of cardio intervals. But the unfortunate thing was, is that obviously that takes a lot of energy, right? So the way that I would fuel those workouts, which were all cardio based, some strength, but very little because I didn't really know what I was doing back then, is that I would need a lot of caffeine.
Right. How much are we talking?
Too much. Too much to a point where I didn't realize that I constantly had the shakes.
Okay. So tell me more, how much? Like, we have some Melburnians watching this, and those guys are some heavy caffeine consumers.
Aren't they? So, it's a huge culture.
It is. So what would you do?
Start, so pre-workout, before I go to the gym, might be a shot on the Nespresso coffee machine, because we had one of those at our share house, which we were really lucky.
Nice.
Also with either a full scoop or half a scoop of pre-workout.
Ooh, okay. Dangerous. So that's like two more servings of caffeine right there.
Yeah. And then, so then I would go and do my like first interval training session of the day. Then I'd get to school and it would be followed by another espresso coffee made by my beautiful Italian mamas of the time, which was a really beautiful thing. But by then, you know, I'd rushed to work after doing a lot of cardio sessions.
Yeah.
So I'm already like jittery, knock it down with a bit more caffeine, get even more jittery, have three classes back to back of music students, kids going everywhere, preps, grade ones or grade sixes being little turds. And then it would be lunchtime and then, oof, you know, a little bit of a crash. Maybe I'd follow it by another cup of coffee, another little espresso.
Just to get through.
Exactly. If one of the grade sixes were making a point, they say, hey, do you want one? Absolutely. Followed by an afternoon cardio session, which was fueled by a little bit of pre-workout if I was feeling a little bit like of the lull. So I don't even want to know how much caffeine that would be.
That's crazy.
500.
That's really like burning the candle from both ends, 101. Like just existing from pure stress chemicals in your body created by consuming too much caffeine, and then by also like having just... You know, I remember what I used to be like in music lessons. I'm like, I feel so sorry for those teachers.
Your specialist teachers, like sport, languages. So sorry for them.
So if you had any kids like me, like, holy crap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know who you would have been.
Right. Okay. You have an avatar in your mind.
Absolutely. I know. Your name would have been up on the board every lesson.
Right.
Okay. With two strikes.
Yeah. And then, too, I think we should mention, like, necessarily nothing wrong with doing a lot of cardiovascular exercise. That's absolutely fine. But then again, if you have a lifestyle where you have a stressful job, you might not want to apply as much stress on your body all the time. You might want to find ways to exercise in a way that is actually still giving your body what it needs, which is like building muscle mass, building strength, getting fitter from an aerobic perspective, but not being so demanding on your nervous system. If you're already draining the tank at work, you can't be draining the tank at the gym. And then let's then superimpose all that caffeine on top as well, because that's also just draining the tank. Like, there's only so much juice that's going to come out from that sponge before it's going to start running dry. Totally. And then I remember the last couple of months of you teaching, like, you were crying most days when you came home.
It was not great.
Yeah, you know, like, you were not in a good state.
It was really draining all parts of my, like, health. At that stage, I'd found out, you know, I had a thyroid nodule. So there was like all those things that I was working through. And then obviously like my emotional and my mental health were definitely declining.
Yeah.
And then I think it also came with this, like, I guess another big aspect and challenge back then was like, where am I going with my career? You know, I would say that's probably like another the third challenge that I was really experiencing in my mid to early 20s is like, okay, you know, I feel like I've almost reached the ceiling of what I can do as a specialist teacher. Like, I've been in it for nearly 5 years and I just feel like this is it. Even though I want to give it more and I'm doing my best, like, unfortunately, the program was just not really respected. Like, I think my superiors definitely respected it, but I think just like the culture of school and then students and then everything like that, I think when you feel like what you're doing and all this effort you're giving isn't valued, it's not really something you really want to continue with.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then from the respect of like, you know, just... I can be extremely driven when it's something that I'm super passionate about and I can see that there's more direction. So I think I just had so much more to give at that time and I just felt like I wasn't getting anything back in return. So having that like real uncertainty of, okay, well, I have this, you know, career as a teacher, I've built a business as the instrumental program there as well. So I'm ticking all the boxes, but I'm still like not happy. But then like, I really wanted to go down the path of health and fitness, but knowing that I had to start from scratch and like probably going to earn $0 for a good amount of time. So I think by the end of my course of like teaching back then, there was a lot going on. And it came at the consequence of a lot of my health, which was the emotional crying and all that you were talking
about. Totally. So what did you do? Like, how did you solve? Because you've kind of just laid out these three kind of challenges, like the drinking culture that you were kind of immersed in, then not really knowing what you were doing in terms of training, way doing like some of the lifestyle stuff like caffeine, and then having a bit of no direction when it comes to their career.
Well, it's going to sound super corny for a second.
You miss me.
I met you.
Yes. On camera.
But it's true. Yes, it was life changing.
Wow, that went like that escalated quick.
Oh, cringe. But it's like, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
You know, I think, gosh, when you're that age, you're just on this path to like self-development, I think. Like, you're really hungry for, you know, what can I do to better myself? And it can be a real mixed bag of it can be a real mixed bag of like what information you're taking in to help you get there, I guess, so for example, from a health and fitness perspective, all the information that I was initially getting, it wasn't doing me any good. I was actually putting a lot of effort and time into wanting to better my health and my fitness and, you know, improve how my body felt from a confidence perspective as well, you know, being somebody who was extremely introverted. And I think, you know, it's quite normal for a girl in their early 20s to not have that much confidence these days. It's just kind of how it is. I shouldn't generalize, but.
For a lot of people, it is, thanks to social media and other bullshit.
You know, I think meeting you and then having information at that time that was actually helping me to change the narrative in terms of, okay, this is how you actually train properly, you know, this is how you eat properly, and these are some of the lifestyle shifts that you can make to make you feel better. And then I think as soon as I felt all those three things and like done it for enough time to see and feel the change, it was like bang, like the buy-in was so strong.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you've gone like, I mean, so we met when I was 22. I started getting to health and fitness when I was probably 17 or 18. So that's nearly 4 years of just like doing random stuff that was not helping me in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, after meeting you and having more knowledge, that helped a lot. Yeah. And then, you know, I think when we met each other, we were getting really kind of deeper into self-development and educating ourselves in terms of like wisdom and philosophy and just different ways and perspectives of seeing life and growth. Like, and then I think that in itself just like positively snowballed.
Yeah, you got into a spiral, like a positive.
Yeah.
Positive, what is it, like a positive...
Yeah, like a just positive...
The snowball was... The bloody snowball was like going down the mountain in the right direction.
Totally, yeah.
Picked up some momentum and...
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, and then obviously like meeting you, it gave me an opportunity to do more like outdoorsy things on the weekends, which I kind of struggled to... you know, feel comfortable with somebody to go and do that with. So, like, weekends turned into hikes or walks or spending more time in nature as opposed to needing to go out and drink and party every weekend. So then there was, like, that thing cut out, you know. So, yeah, the gym sessions and the cardio, the amount of cardio changed. And then from a lifestyle perspective, you educated me and told me that pre-workout's not a great thing. So that went in the bin straight away.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you continued on with your journey at that point in time as a PT, like you were gaining all this extra knowledge and insight as well. So
you came for the ride.
Yeah. And here we are. But
so I guess the big takeaway from all that is that you should meet me.
NinaStronger.com. So, yeah, that's my story.
That's your story.
It's still going. The story still continues.
It's never ending.
It's never ending. And like, you know, I think we're really lucky in that we found all this knowledge, tools and education quite early on in our 20s or mid-20s. So it really enabled us to create these habits that are just part of our life now. And like even just the way that we see shopping, the way we see preparing food, how we schedule out our week. Like, everything's just second nature now.
Yeah, it's just been building from that initial.
For sure. And, you know, there are stuff, things, times and things that throw us off the schedule. But the beautiful thing is that, you know, when you've been doing it for so long, a little push and nudge kind of, like, the habits are strong enough to pull you back on course.
That's right.
Yeah. So... yeah, but yeah, so you were obviously a huge catalyst.
Yeah, so maybe we should talk about me.
Yeah, let's get the dirt.
All right, so what about me then? Well, I think a lot of people think that like I've been like the picture of health and fitness for my entire life.
Absolutely.
And I think that anyone who knew me maybe in my late teens, like they're just... pissing themselves laughing right now, because I was definitely not the definition of health. Like maybe I looked kind of healthy because I was already very athletic. Even from a young age, I was already super athletic. But then in my late teens, like I was dealing with a similar thing of directionlessness, just not knowing what I wanted to do with my life. And I was supplementing that with drinking, smoking cigarettes, like in one part of my life, like a pack of cigarettes a day in my late 20s. And in my late teens. That's kind of crazy.
That's so crazy.
Recreational drugs, lots of weed, like a lot of weed. And that's just what we did. You know, just was in a group of friends, and that was just a thing. So then I kind of think that directionless kind of culminated when I finished my military service in Finland. Like that experience really put some a bit more discipline and like a bit more like structure into me, but I still didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So then I came to Australia with two of my friends, and you know, it's a pretty wild experience being here, like being a backpacker in your early 20s. Like, there's, it's just an overload. But I think at that point in my life, like, I'd already been doing the drinking and the that thing for quite some time. So during that year of more drinking and like everything here in Australia, I really got to a point where I was like, I'm sick of this now. Like, I've just had enough of this. Throughout this, I'd gotten a job at Fitness First as a sales consultant, and just met this amazing, one of my best friends these days, Kieran Englert. He was the club manager of the gym where I was doing sales in. And he's just an amazing person as a friend, but then as a mentor. And he was really the one who opened my eyes into, like, you know, like, you don't have to be a loser forever. Like, you can actually, like, start doing something with your life, and you actually have this potential. So he was kind of the one who germinated that idea. And then I remember when I actually met Teresa 1 month before I... So when you come to Australia, you get a 1 year working holiday visa. 11 months into that 12 month visa, I met her. Like, 1 month before, I had already booked in a trip to go to Southeast Asia to travel for 3 months with my friends. So I'm like, you know, we met, then we hang out, and we're like, we got along pretty well, but I'd already booked to go away. So then I go away, and we kind of kept in touch for a little bit, but then, you know, we fell off. And then I remember being in Cambodia during that 3 month trip. And I remember being there on this beach, and it was like completely torrential rain. And I was just like walking in the morning on this beach. And then I just got this feeling like, man, I've had enough. Like, I need something else in my life right now.
Crazy.
Yeah. And having met you, I was like, you know what? Like, I think that I wanna try to give this a shot. To, you know, no guarantees at all, by the way. We're not in contact with each other at that point in time at all.
Oh no, I'm gonna cry.
Oh shit. Yeah. So then I decided to come back to Australia, and I got a job back at the same gym that I was working at before. And I was really lucky in that there was this perfect segue, just out of coincidence. Like, my friend Kieran, he said that, you know what, there's this opportunity, you could become a personal trainer if you wanted to. You're going to have to put some work into that, but you could, it is possible for you. I remember having that conversation with him. There's a guy here who could sponsor your visa. There's another personal trainer who wants to hire you underneath him, and he could get you to stay in the country for a longer time. And I was like, fuck it, let's go, all in.
Yeah.
And within a week of that, I bought a laptop, I signed up to the personal training course. So it was like, my big problem was this directionlessness and not knowing what to do with my life. And I just needed that one person in my life who was able to tell me that I have potential to become really good at this. I just need to take action. And I need to start taking things seriously right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Yeah, I still remember that, actually, because we were back in contact again after you'd come back from Asia. Yeah, and I'm glad. I'm glad.
Me too. We probably wouldn't be here right now. But, you know.
But I just remember you sent me a message, and it was like, I could just feel how excited you were knowing that there was this possibility. And yeah, I was just like so amazed at like how fast you were just like, okay, bang, bang, bang. And then, yeah, it's like this switch just clicked in you.
Mm.
Like, ever since then, you were just like so driven. But even before that, I would still say that there was, you know, and it's a quality that I think I've always admired in you.
Mm.
Like, you take action. Like, you don't mess around, and you know what you want.
Mm.
even though maybe sometimes, like, at that time, like, the future, further down the track. But, like, I think in general, I think a quality of yours is, like, you know what you want and you generally take action on it.
Yeah. Well, that was very useful to have that bet back then because Melbourne was an amazing place to be in terms of, like, hungry to grow as a personal trainer, hungry for knowledge and hungry to become better. Because not only I had a great mentor, Tony Calabro, shout out, but also you have like all these like industry leaders from all around the world, the best people in physiotherapy, the best people in strength training, the best people in nutrition, everyone doing their courses here or in Melbourne.
That's it.
It was just like this, if you're willing to immerse yourself in this information to like better yourself, it was the perfect place to be. But I think the bottom line of this is that I think that if you're struggling, whether it's health and fitness or whether it's something to do with your career, whether it's something to do with the relationship, like you just need to like find some other people to talk to, I think. Find some other people to talk to, someone who has experience who has their, doesn't have to have their shit absolutely figured out, but at least that they're not in like, they're not in a place when in their life where they're like swimming really hard. Because you can't be swimming really hard and giving good advice to other people who are also swimming really hard. You need to be in a place where you're kind of in a calm place. You can look at what you're doing objectively and then give you some advice and just tell you what's actually possible for yourself. Because very oftentimes we don't give ourselves that much credit. But the reality is that especially with so much information available these days, you can become anything. Like,
it's wild.
Yeah, like,
whoever and whatever you want to be, you can do it with enough brains and hard work and commitment. You can do it.
You can do it. You can find a laid out plan for law school, for medical school, like for the exams, for any kind of school, or whether it's like military or whatever, whatever you want to do. You can find the perfect blueprint for getting started in that thing. Absolutely. And then you just need to believe in yourself, and then you need the consistency and you need to put in the work. Because without those two pieces, without the consistency and without the work, the plan and all that mentoring, that's just words in the wind.
And I think, yeah, you were fortunate in that respect because actually like consistency and hard work, I think are quite innate, like values and also characteristics that you have.
To my detriment sometimes.
To your detriment sometimes. but I think, yeah, you literally just needed to know what was possible and have that little bit of guidance in that specific field.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you know, I think Kieran's a beautiful soul. We're so lucky that he's in our life to give us both, you know, that just the possibilities. And just to, like, be in your court. I think just having somebody in your court who's like, nah, man, you got this. Like, brush it off. Just get up again. Let's go.
Yeah, perfect.
This is what you're capable of.
Yeah. So the takeaway from my story is that...
Find a
Kieran. Well, we made this really applicable, this episode. All you need is to find a Puru and find a Kieran in your life. And you'll be sweet. You'll become the CEO of 5 companies within 2 weeks. Guaranteed. You probably don't want to do that.
So direction you felt like was one of your challenges?
Yeah, that was my main. I think
That was your biggest thing?
That was my biggest thing, yeah.
I agree. Like, I think other than that, like, you're pretty good.
Well, because that was, you know, like, when it comes to, like, training and all that, like, that's where everything just fell into place
from that. That's
like,
right.
I went all in. So then I went all in to learning from the top of the food chain people, doing the top of the food chain shit. And I've been doing that ever since then.
That's right.
So,
yeah. I think that's something that has been really wonderful for your development and your success is that you always knew how to source like the best at what they do. And I think that's something that I've really like admired is like you just somehow know like who the next best professional in terms of like their realm of whatever it might be, physiotherapy, rehab, strength, like you're kind of already a bit ahead of the game. And so when people were the mainstream, like not even mainstream, but
no, it's the when... in the world of like your Instagram,
that's it,
feed, which is full of like personal trainer stuff, like
yeah,
like the average person, the person who's watching this, listening to this, like their Instagram Instagram feed looks completely different to yours.
Totally.
Yeah. But what you're saying is like, by the time you start seeing the stuff popping up in there, we've already been doing that for
years. What,
yeah, that's been happening a lot, actually.
Yeah. So I think that's something like a quality that has really set you apart in the industry, especially like, I guess the best thing I think for me anyway, because I'm slightly competitive quietly, like being at Melbourne Central Fitness First, where it's known to have some of the best personal trainers in Melbourne. I think just being around that culture of, you know, needing to uphold some high service and knowledge of your craft, I think that also helped both of us develop quite well. So putting yourself in a position where you have access to other people who are doing the same thing as you at a high level, whether that's, you know, in a Facebook group or in some kind of mentorship or whatever that might be. Like, I think that's a huge way to guide you, because my mum used to tell us this actually, like, be careful who you choose as friends in high school because they're going to really dictate your future. She really grained that one into us, like grilled that into us when we were children.
Your mum says wise shit during her life. There's another saying of hers that I really like. What was it about cooking?
That if you don't learn how to cook, you won't find a man.
Damn right, son. Lucky she learned how to cook because she found me.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very good. This episode of the podcast has been sponsored by the Coach Puru training app. If you want to take your training and your results to the next level without breaking the bank, jump on. You get training programs, access to me, exercise demonstration videos, everything that you need to take your training to the next level. It's literally like having me at the gym with you, except that I'm in a much more confined, smaller space inside your pocket. I promise I'm not doing anything weird in your pocket. It's I'm just hanging there, and then you pull me out and you log your weights and you look at me to see what you need to do and how to do it, and then you put me back into your pocket, or you might put me into the ground while you're actually doing your set.
Yeah.
All right, the little princess is up. We're gonna wrap it right there. Thank you so much for watching and listening. If you have any questions, comments, send us a message. My handle is @CoachPuru on Instagram.
@CoachTerezaWest.
@CoachTerezaWest on Instagram. And I hope that this was helpful on some level. Find a Puru or a Kieran.
It'll change your life.
It'll change your life. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you in the next one.